All right, guys, if you have a Bible with you tonight, and I hope that you do, or someone around you does, please have it handy. I'm going to open our time in prayer. Heavenly Father, creator of heaven and earth, of all things seen and unseen, we praise you for your grace and mercy that you've given to us. We're thankful that although we are sinners and we were enemies of you, that you died on the cross, a horrific death, because that was the only payment that would satisfy the penalty for our sins. So thank you for taking God's wrath upon the Son in order to pay for those sins. And so, Lord, I pray tonight as we look into your word, that it will become abundantly clear that you are a father who wants to listen to your children, that you want us to approach the throne in prayer in all situations. So Lord, thank you for that opportunity that you are not just a God that spun the world into motion and just left us to be on our own, but you are a God who loves us and wants to be involved in every aspect of our lives. So, Lord, I just pray tonight that you will speak in and through me, and that that the words that we speak tonight will transform hearts and really change the trajectory of our walk with you. We pray these things in your Son's name. Amen. All right. So we're going to start tonight in James chapter 5. Next week, you guys are going to be memorizing a passage from James chapter 5. So that's kind of my lead in here. So most of the time when we think about prayer, we think of it as asking God for something, right? Or asking him to do something. And really, though, prayer is just talking to God. Prayer isn't powerful because of who is praying. Prayer is powerful because of who is being prayed to. So being able to talk to God is something that is incredibly powerful. So the first part of our lesson tonight, we're going to be talking about the power of prayer. So if I asked each of you what prayer was, what would you say? What would you say? What is prayer? Caleb.
Talking to God,
right? Yeah. I mean, and there could be other answers out there, and all of them could be very good ones. What's the point of prayer? Why do we pray? Why do we pray? If we're honest, there are times when we think that prayer is just a way to ask God to do something for us. We only pray when we need something from God. We view prayer as a tool to tell God what we would like him to do. And if that's what popped into your head when I asked that question, that's okay. That's why we're here tonight, okay? So we can talk about what prayer actually is. But I want to go ahead and tell you guys right now, very clearly and plainly, that is not what prayer is. Actually, prayer is something so much more powerful than just asking for things. Prayer is exactly what you said, Caleb, talking to God. That sounds too simple, right? It seems so simple. It probably doesn't sound all that powerful if it's just talking to God. Well, I have to tell you, being able to talk to God is one of the most powerful things in the world. So if we open up to James chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, I'll give you guys a second to flip over there. It's in the New Testament near the end, after Hebrews, right before 1 Peter. James chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Does anybody have that? If you've been able to turn to that in your Bibles. And I would encourage you all to bring your paper Bibles every single week. Phone Bibles are nice and handy, but I would encourage you guys to bring this. If you don't have a Bible, please come talk to me because I want to get a Bible into your hands, because this isn't going to do it for you if you really want. What I mean by that, like just coming on Sunday nights is probably a good start, but it's not what's going to really change your walk with God. I want to get God's living word into your hands because that's the only thing that's going to change you. Okay, so you've got James chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Would you read it, please?
Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray over him, anointing him with the oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, that you may be healed.
Yeah, the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Man, there's a lot to look at this passage. So let's get this straight. Praying can make a sick person well. It can heal people. It can forgive sins. All because you're saying a few words Well, not exactly. You see, prayer isn't powerful because you're praying or because of the words that you are saying. Prayer is powerful because of who we're praying to, right? God, the creator of the universe, who spoke the universe into existence, who is sustaining all things together. See, if you believe in God, if you believe that he created the whole world and he created you and that he has a plan for your life, then you know just how powerful he is. So there's nothing magical about the words that you're praying. It's the fact that you're having a conversation with God, the same one who created everything that you see, the same one who knows everything, and that's what makes prayer powerful. Prayer can be intimidating, right? Praying in small groups can be intimidating. Prayer in large groups can be intimidating. But whether I'm praying, I mean, there's great benefits to praying corporately and individually, but whether I'm standing here and I'm praying to God, I'm not praying to you. I could be praying on the behalf of God to intercede for us as a group, but who we're praying to is the most important thing, and that's what I want you guys, to stick in your heads when you're thinking about the power of prayer. The Bible is full of powerful stories about prayer. Let's look about one about a woman named Tabitha, right? As at the part of the story that I'm going to start with in Acts chapter 9, Tabitha has become sick, and what happened? What happened to Tabitha? Who knows? What happened to Tabitha? Did she do a little dance? Did she die? She died, okay? She didn't dance. She wasn't dancing anymore. She died. The disciples heard that Peter was in town, so they asked for him to come over. And here's what Acts chapter 9, verse 40 says. Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got on his knees, and he prayed. And turning toward the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." So she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. Wait just a second, all right? Tabitha was dead. It says so right there in the Bible. So how was she able to come back to life? Was it because Peter was there? Was it because he was so holy and powerful? No. It was. If that was the case, Peter would have just walked right into the room and told her to get up without doing anything else, right? But what does he do? What's the first thing he does? What does he do? It's not a rhetorical question. He prays. Thank you. All right. You get a candy bar or something later. Come on. All right. So he prays. He prays. It wasn't him that was powerful. It was the prayer that he prayed and who he prayed to. You guys remember from the sermons from Pastor Jim on Sunday mornings, when Joseph was interpreting dreams, he had the ability to do that. That was given to him by God. And when Pharaoh asked him to interpret the dream, he says, "I can't do that, but God can." So he gave credit to God. So here, again, we're going to God in prayer, who gives us the ability, or gave Peter the ability to do this. And that is kind of amazing. So I have a question for you. If you have this power at your fingertips, the power to just sit and have a conversation with God, who is so powerful that he can raise people from the dead, why don't you use it? Right? The reason we're teaching on prayer is because I've heard from a good number of you, and ones that I trust a lot, and that I think are trying their very hardest to walk with the Lord, they say, "Man, my prayer life is struggling. I just don't know what to do. I don't know if it's working." But if we see the power that God has, why wouldn't we use that? So, okay, right? So this is how it all comes back to the game, right? Who has envelopes in their hand? Okay. I call this game the unfair advantage, right? The unfair advantages are in your envelope. So, Josh, will you read what's on your little thing? So, okay, seniors came in first. Sophomores, I can't remember if you guys came in second or third or fourth. Doesn't matter. You didn't come in first. All right, Josh, what does your unfair advantage say? Could you imagine? Which of the steps do you think took the longest? They didn't have to hula hoop. That would have been a pretty good advantage, right? All right, who has another envelope? Carson, what does yours say? Don't have to do the puzzle. The puzzle took a little bit of time. If they didn't have to do the puzzle, as soon as Simon got done with the ice, they would have been done. They would have won, right? Sam, what's yours say? Don't have to melt the ice. That took a long time. I should have made the person who was melting ice do the puzzle. My hands are so cold, I can't actually do it. All right, and then last one, Elizabeth, because I trust you. Okay, yeah, if you didn't have to blow up the balloons and tap it, that would have been a good time saver, right? So All right, if you could have skipped any of those, those would have been pretty powerful advantages. Probably would have changed the outcome of the race, right? I think whichever team I would have said could have used their advantage would have totally won. But did those advantages help you in the game? Did those? Were they as powerful in the game as they seem now? They weren't. Why? Why were those advantages not helpful? What was it? Because the game's over, right? And because I didn't tell you that you could use them, right? You had the advantages, and they could have changed the outcome of the entire game, but you didn't use them, so they were worthless to you. So prayer, which is extremely powerful, prayer is extremely powerful. There are no rules to praying. You don't have to do anything specific. In fact, you can pray whenever and wherever you want, and that's something pretty powerful to have on your side. So why don't you use it? Sometimes we don't pray because we feel like we're not close enough to God. How many of you guys, like, has that hit you where, like, man, it's been a long time since I've prayed because a month ago I started doing something that I know I shouldn't be doing, and I'm not ready to give it up, so I'm not even going to go to God because I know he's not going to listen to me because I'm choosing my sin over I'm choosing God, and it's just like this downward spiral, right? You're distancing yourself from God. You're not approaching him saying, God, help me with this sin. I don't want to do it anymore. I confess. I repent of it. I don't want to do it. I want to be different. I want to die to my old self, and I want to be raised again new with you. So sometimes we don't pray because we feel like we're not close enough to God. Or maybe there are times when we don't pray because we know there are things in our lives that shouldn't be there, and we know that they're wrong, so we avoid talking to God. How many of you guys have ever had a situation with, like, a friend where you've got something really, your friendship's not going well so far. Like, it's just not going great. Somebody's hurt somebody else's feelings, and sometimes you don't make up right away. Sometimes you avoid each other. That distance, some people might argue, could make things better, but it doesn't, okay? The only thing that's going to make that better is true reconciliation. So let me do this real quick. Okay, David Cribbs, can I have you tell Caleb what you did over the 4th of July? Now, actually, just tell him what you did yesterday, okay? But before you go, before you guys do this, Caleb, he's going to tell you what he did yesterday, okay? Just a couple sentences, two highlights of the day. And then your job is to make sure that you tell me what he did yesterday, okay? Got it, okay. All right, so David, go ahead, okay? Go ahead and tell him. And then your job, what's your job? Tell me. Okay, yes, absolutely. All right, so as they're talking about that, are you guys having a good night? This is pretty cool so far, right? The stuff about prayer. Caleb, don't forget your job. Okay, that we're talking about. Can you believe that the prayer is actually powerful enough to raise somebody from the dead? It is, in fact. Okay, they're still talking. This is taking a little bit longer than I thought my example was going to take. But he's really trying to make sure that he's got this down. So, anyway, can you guys believe that prayer is powerful enough to raise someone from the dead? And can you even imagine that if someone was dying? Caleb was taking this too long. So he's going to do that. Also, I just wanted to make sure you guys did see on this, the back-to-school skate night is on August 1st. And remember your job, Caleb? Your job is to tell me what he said. All right, so the back-to-school skate night is at Franklin Skate Club. So that's another one where you can bring your friends. So I would totally encourage you guys to do that. And then the fall service retreat. That is so awesome. It's going to happen at Spring Hill. What? Okay, are you supposed to be telling me something?
Yeah.
Okay, what are you going to tell me?
So.
Okay, so the fall service retreat, the save the day, it's we're going to do Sunday afternoon through Wednesday night. Can you speak up?
He changed his batteries in his car.
Changed batteries in his car? Okay, that's great. Home improvement and car improvement. And worked out. Okay, this is great.
And
take a shower. Okay, in which order? Did you take a shower first?
He took a shower after.
Okay, after all that. Okay, thank you. All right, thank you so much for playing along with me. All right. So I know that looked really silly to you guys. I know it. But I wanted to show you something. What happened was that Caleb, what happened when Caleb was trying to tell me something? What happened? I was walking away. And I was, you know, I was moving around. I was talking. So Caleb, what did he have to do in order to finally tell me what he learned? He had to get close, right? He had to get closer. Why? Well, when you're trying to talk to someone, the natural thing is you want to come close to them, right? Okay? I know we live in a world that we can text people stuff, but what I'm saying, when you want to approach someone with some information, you want to come close to them so they can hear you. It didn't matter that I was moving around or that I was talking or that they had to walk in front of all of you during this message. They came close to me so that they could tell me what they needed to say. And that's what happens when you pray. You see, you don't have to be super close to God to start praying to him. That's going to sound a little bit weird. I'm going to explain it here in a second. But prayer does make you closer to God. Some of you say, I'm not ready. I'm not worthy. I'm not close enough to God. So why should I even pray to him? Prayer draws you closer to God. And that's something really important to remember. Just like Caleb came closer to me when he was trying to talk to me, talking to God will naturally lead to being closer to him. And that is a very good place to be, right? 1 John 5:14 says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So it's easy to read a story in the Bible about someone being raised from the dead and think, wow, that is so powerful. And then they get to a verse like this one, and you might not be as impressed, but when compared to someone coming back to life, is there really anything more powerful than about this verse? Yes, there absolutely is. Really think about it, guys. It says that we can be confident that we can approach God and he hears us. So when you pray, you're not aimlessly saying words into the air, hoping that maybe, just maybe, your words will float around and eventually find their way to God if he's not too busy. No. When you pray, you can know for a fact that God hears you. And that's pretty powerful. That's pretty powerful. Which brings me to the second part of my lesson tonight. And it'll be quick. Talking about learning how to pray. Okay, AJ, I understand prayer is powerful. I understand that I'm supposed to come close to God. But like, I just don't know, like, really, like, what to do. And we're going to break up for small groups after this is over. I'm going to do it. I'll divvy it up once I figure out kind of how many people we have. But it'll be guys and girls, and we'll talk through these questions on the back. But learning how to pray, can you guys open to Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13? This is the Lord's Prayer. So we're going to talk about learning how to pray. Maybe you already know how to pray, or maybe you want to learn. Maybe you think you know how to pray, but you can't help but wonder if you're really even doing it right. So, Betsy, will you tell Princess about your afternoon today? Yeah, just tell her about your afternoon. Just tell Princess, right now, just go ahead. Tell Princess about your afternoon. Just to Princess, yeah. Okay. So she said, she's like, I came to church, I played some soccer, I had some Thai food, and then you came to youth group. Okay, right? So do you know what I noticed about this conversation, all right? I noticed, Betsy, that you didn't use any fancy language, even though Thai food is kind of fancy. I don't know, but no, it's not. It's good, but it's not. Was it Thai spice?
Yeah.
Oh, love Thai spice. Yeah. You didn't worry about using big words or sounding smart and professional, although you do sound smart. You just talked to Princess. And do you know that prayer is just talking to God? In the same way that you didn't have to worry about talking to your friend the right way, you don't have to worry about praying the right way. So I want to tell you a few things that are not true about how to pray. It's not true that you have to pray for a certain amount of time or God's going to get mad at you. You have to pray 2 hours every day, or God's going to, don't make it to that 2 hour mark. He's not going to listen. That is not true. Okay? It's not true that you have to use big fancy words in order for God to listen to your prayers. However, as a caveat, I know that God loves it when we pray his word back to him. So if you think that God's word is fancy language, and you know, that's okay. It's great to use scripture while you pray, but you don't have to use big fancy words and that only you understand, right? It's not true that there's a list of rules you have to follow if you want your prayers to be answered. Oh, I'm not following the rules right. That's why my prayers aren't getting answered. And it's most definitely not true that God is sitting up in heaven making sure that you don't break any one of these fake rules before he answers them, right? I just wanted to get all of those fake things out of the way in case any of you have been told those things about prayer. Because as silly as I might make that sound, some of you might have heard things like that before from a family member or from a friend, or maybe you just thought this up. Like, maybe you just, I don't know, maybe it's the first time you've ever been in church and you're like, I see some people praying, but I don't really get why they do that. See, the problem with believing things like this about prayer is that they make God seem like someone who doesn't want to talk to us. There aren't a bunch of hoops that you have to jump through to be able to talk to God, because he's not trying to trick you. He actually wants to talk to you. Luke chapter 11, verses 11 through 12 says, "Which of you fathers, if a son asks for a fish, will give him a snake? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" See, God is our Father in heaven who cares about you. And if you think about praying as something that a bunch of rules and requirements, you're painting a picture of a father who wants to trick their kids, or the father who wants to give good, which one are you thinking? Is he a picture of somebody who wants to trick their kids, or the father who wants to give good gifts to their kids? Well, if you're painting that picture, it's not a good one. God isn't sitting up in heaven with a timer critiquing words and making sure you reach your daily quota. He's a good father, and when you pray, he actually listens. So now that we've covered what prayer isn't, it's time to learn how to pray, right? Here's the deal. I could try my best to teach you guys how to pray. I've read a couple books. I've got another one that I just started by Al Mohler on the prayer that changed the world, and it's about this passage, right? So I could tell you what I've learned. I could tell you what I've listened to. I've listened to a lot of sermons about prayer in preparation for all this. But someone else is much, much better than even me. No, definitely than me, right? Somebody's much better than that. In fact, the greatest teacher that's ever been has taught us how to pray, and that's who we're going to learn from, Jesus, right? So Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. If you guys have a Bible, please open to that. Matthew chapter 6. And let me read. Okay. Sorry, I was kind of reading in context. Okay, I'm going to start in verse 7 of chapter 6. "And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." Verse 9, "Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." If you've ever been worried about knowing how you should pray, this should make you feel better right away. If there's anyone who can teach you how to pray, it's Jesus. So let's walk through some of the things that he says here, and I'll be done 10 minutes, and we'll have 40 or so minutes for small groups. All right. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Jesus could have started this lesson on how to pray many different ways, but the way he starts it out shows us a lot about prayer. He starts it off by reminding us that God is our Father. And I'm not sure what kind of relationship you have with your dad. When you talk to your dad, it might be stiff and uncomfortable, and you may feel unloved. Or maybe you have a great relationship with your dad, and talking to him is like talking to someone who loves you and is looking out for you. Or maybe you have no dad at all. There's a wide spectrum there. Whatever you think about your earthly father, God is the best dad you could imagine, you can imagine. Having a conversation with him should be all of the best things. It should be comforting to know that you're talking to someone who loves you, who has a plan for you, and who wants what's best for you, and is cheering for you to succeed. This verse teaches us how we should pray. Could have started out any number of ways, but it starts out by addressing God as our Father, which really sets the tone for how you should pray. Doesn't that tell you a lot about how God wants us to pray? So the first part of Jesus' lesson on how to pray is God is our Father, and he should be honored as holy. Hallowed be thy name, all right? Second part, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Ooh, this part can be a little bit difficult, but it is definitely worth it. We are humans, right? I think all of you are. Middle schoolers, not so sure about. But high schoolers, I'm pretty sure you guys made it to human status. And there are many times that we're convinced that we know what's best, right? How many of you guys as high schoolers are now to the point where I'm now a teenager, and I got it all figured out, right? We all think we know what's best, and there's probably not a person in the world that understands my life better than me. And so even my parents probably shouldn't be giving me on advice about how to live my life, right? Because we know what's best. We think that the things we want for our lives are the best things. The decisions we make are the best decisions. And the plans that we make are the best plans. Really, though, we don't know what's best. I'm not just saying that about teenagers. I'm talking about adults as well. We don't always know. We need to rely on God. You know, we don't know what's best, not even close. But you know who does know? Who? Who knows? God, yes, okay. So when you pray, you're supposed to ask for his will instead of your own, and that can be hard. But you have to know this. God wants what is best for you. I'm just going to use a verse, take it for what it is. But you guys have heard Jeremiah 29:11 before, right? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. That's a good verse. Some people try to memorize that out of context. You may have heard this before, but I want you to really think about it for a second. Think about what it means. God has plans to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. He doesn't have plans to harm you. That's the point I really want to say here. Now, you will face trials. You will suffer. That's a guarantee. You don't come to youth group so that like some Sunday night in the future, you'd be like, AJ, I'm ready to give my life to Jesus because I want to be healthy, wealthy, and wise, like, or whatever. I think that all these good things are going to happen to me once I believe in Jesus. No, the Bible says much different than that. It says, when you follow me, you will be hated by the world because they hated him first. Okay? God does have plans for you. And things that he takes you through are to grow you and grow your dependence upon him, right? So that those that harm that happens or those trials that may come, that suffering that may come, is meant to build you up and make you stronger in him. And if this is really true, don't you think that God's will is going to be the best thing for you? I hope so. So that's how you should pray for God's will because he knows what's best and he wants what's best for you. So ask him for it. And he goes on to say, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Ooh, man, it's another hard one, right? Forgiveness must be a pretty big deal if Jesus included it in how we should pray. Here, Jesus is talking about two things, receiving forgiveness and giving forgiveness. They're both important, right? They're both hard. Let's just get real here. Forgiving others is not an easy thing to do. It's uncomfortable. Often we feel like if we forgive someone, it means we're saying what they did was okay. I'm not saying that, all right? But God forgives you, even when the things that you do are not okay. Remembering that should help you forgive others. How much have you been forgiven of? Man, I was meeting with a kid this morning, talking about the trials of forgiveness. I'm thinking, but look what we've been forgiven of. And this little act right here doesn't even make it on the scale of the things that God has already forgiven us. So how much like Jesus do you want to be right now? Right? So remembering that God forgives us should help us to forgive others. All right. One last little volunteer. Grace. Hey, did you get a candy bar earlier?
Yeah.
Oh, you did? Can I have it? You ate it? Okay. That's a little bit challenging. Okay, wait a second. All right. What's your favorite?
I
Twix? Oh, there's another one in here. Okay. All right. Okay. Cool. Can I have a Twix? Oh my goodness. That was so nice of you. Are you sure? I thought you like really like it. Okay. Was that hard to give me the Twix back? No, because you already had one, right? You already got your fix. Enough sugar for today. Would it though? Okay. So let's just do it, for example. Okay, now I get lots of candy. Oh, my daughter over here is like, oh, share it with me. All right. But now if I said, hey, can I have one? Is that pretty easy? Because then how much are you left with? You're left with a lot. Okay, you can keep a Twix if you want. Okay, look at that. Oh, it stuck to your hand. It was like meant to be. Okay, so, right, how much easier it was for you to be generous with me when I was generous with you, right? That's how it is with forgiveness, and that's how it should be when we pray. When you pray, you should ask God to forgive the sins in your life, but you shouldn't stop there. You can also pray to help forgive others, right? So we're able to, as we seek forgiveness and as we receive more, it's easier for us to forgive. And when we see our sins in light of what God has forgiven of us, that should make our ability to forgive much easier. So like my sins are kind of like candy bar. This analogy breaks down. Never mind. All right. So, but it was easier for you to forgive once you started to realize like, wow, I got a whole bunch of forgiveness. Forgiveness. Here, Sam, here's some forgiveness and Emma and Paige. Okay. So you can give some forgiveness when you realize how much you've been forgiven. All right. If God can continually forgive you for your sins, you should be able to forgive others. All right. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Temptation is a part of life, right? For most of us, temptation is a daily thing. Unfortunately, it doesn't stop once you put your faith in Jesus Christ. In fact, I feel like sometimes the temptations grow even stronger because Satan wants nothing more than to neutralize you, draw you away from the flock. Temptation's a real thing, and God knows that. And he wants you to talk to him about the temptations that you're facing. Notice that Jesus doesn't say that we should be asking God to take the temptations away, but that we should ask him to lead us away from them. Jesus knew that we would have questions about how we should pray, and so he taught us how. But he didn't do so through a bunch of rules. He simply gave us a template that teaches us a lot about prayer and opens the door for us to talk to God about a lot more than just asking him for things. And so that's what I wanted to show you tonight. That's also why I've given you guys this month the reading plan. So if you're thinking, I don't know how to pray, AJ, even your lesson tonight, going through the Lord's Prayer, that was all great and all, AJ, but I still don't know how to pray. Please, tomorrow, if you haven't already, open up Psalm 1. It's the first one. And just read it. It says, man, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Stop there. Time out. There's a lot to pray about here. So we just read God's word, and we use it to come to mind things that we should be praying for. Lord, help me not to walk in the counsel of the wicked. Man, thinking through some of my friends right now. I'm thinking through some of the people I hang out with, thinking some of the stuff I watch, some of the people I follow. That's like standing in the, that's like walking with the wicked and sitting in the seat of scoffers. And then you see this, the righteous person, right? Blessed is the man. His delight is in the law of the Lord. Lord, help me to delight in you above all things. This is how we pray through God's word. This is how we do this together. Help me to delight in it, Lord. My mind wanders when I'm reading your word. Help give me focus. Help me to meditate on it day and night so that you can be like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season. There are so many things to pray. If you don't know how to pray, just open up God's word and think, what is this telling me about God? God, thank you for sharing with me your word so that I can pray to you. He's giving us ways to pray. Thousands of different ways to pray. And so prayer is very powerful, right? Prayer is powerful. That's why we're going to continue to teach on it for at least another week or two. And if you guys have questions, which is what small groups are all about learning how to pray and talking through that, these are just very conversational questions. So they shouldn't be awkward or anything like that. Talk about prayer tonight. And I want to encourage you tonight during your small group time, grab a pen, Wherever your small group meets, there are pins in those little offering boxes. Grab a pin if you don't have one. I would encourage you again to bring a pin every week, but if you don't have one, grab one. And honestly, write down things that you hear that you can be praying for and pray for those people throughout the week. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to divide up into small groups. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to chat for the rest of the night. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, again, it's not enough time ever. It feels like to spend time with this group. I'm thankful for the attention spans. It was a long lesson, but Lord, I think your word is worth it. And summers can be busy sometimes, and sometimes our schedules are not the same. And so maybe this message tonight was convicting, thinking I haven't been spending as much time with God. I've forgotten to do that. I forgot to even pray to God. I don't have any tests coming up. That's the only time I prayed for him in the past. I pray that tonight will be a transforming message that will penetrate the hearts of those of your children who are in desperate need of your grace, of your love, of your patience. Lord, I'm thankful for your patience for me in every single day. Thank you for the free gift of salvation that you give to anyone who wants to receive it, put their faith in the Lord's work on the cross. It's a payment for their sin. Lord, I pray that tonight, again, you'll be stirring their hearts that today is the day of salvation and that none of us is guaranteed an extra breath. We're not guaranteed to make our home from church tonight. And that today is the day of salvation. And so today is the day I should not put off where I will be spending eternity. So Lord, I just pray that you stir in the hearts, raise good questions, and that our time in small groups will be fruitful. And we pray these things in your son's name. Amen.